On June 21, 2010, John Wathan, Hurricane Creek Keeper, and South Wings pilot Tom Hutchins once again set out across the Gulf of Mexico for the source of the BP slick. Today we were joined by writer David Helvard, author of Saved by the Sea, a love story with fish. It didn't take long after leaving the shores to find our first oil. In the mouth of Mobile Bay, there were patches of light sheen seen behind the islands. You couldn't see it from the beach, but 1.2 miles off Gulf Shore, there was a solid mass of oil. On previous flights, behind Pettyboy Island, all we had seen was light sheen. Now it was turning into the darker pink mats. Some of these floats were miles long and hundreds of feet wide. The farther out into the Gulf we got, the more consistent it became. At 17 miles out, it was obvious that the entire Gulf was covered at this point. There was no more clean water. Heavy layers of oil now covered the entire horizon. As far as you could see, the bands were getting thicker. At 23 miles out, we encountered the heaviest sheen yet. This was the dark pinks and purples, the colors that we had seen in the first flights out. It was obvious that this was what was coming to our beaches, and there was nothing we could do about it. At 23 miles out, we encountered the heaviest sheen yet. The water there was a deep purple, maroon, blue. It looked almost like a rainbow. Boats on the surface looked tiny in comparison to the horizon. The scope of this is beyond belief. It'll take years at this rate to gather up even a portion of the oil that's on the surface today. Some of it looks more like bruised internal organs of the human body than the surface of the ocean. And yet that's what it is. Some of it looks as if a child had sprayed silly string all over the surface. But there's nothing silly about these strings of oil that float on the Gulf of Mexico today. The first time I came out and saw a fire, there was only one. Today, when we got here, there were four. Within a couple of passes, there were seven. From the size of these fires, it seems as though we're not only trying to kill everything in the Gulf of Mexico, but everything that flies over it as well. This toxic environment can't be good for the birds that fly over the Gulf, and certainly nothing can live in these rainbows of death that cover the entire horizon. These rainbows stretch for miles in every direction. You can't see a clear place on the Gulf anywhere around this. Each of these fires probably burns an equivalent of less than an Olympic-sized swimming pool. From 1.2 miles off the shores of Gulf Shores, Alabama, to the Ground Zero site some 90 miles away, we haven't flown over a single square inch of clear water. Imagine how many fires it'll take to burn that much oil. There has to be something better than putting all this toxic smoke into the atmosphere. Why are there not large ships here with suction devices that can go down and pull this stuff closer to the source and put it on ships and recycle it somehow? Now there's a new kid on the block, simply identified as 04000. It burns the oil coming from the bottom while skimmers work to clean it off the top. This particular rig was brought in to burn off the crude oil from the bottom of the Gulf. It sits next to the Discover Enterprise, which is burning off the methane. In the meantime, these tiny skimmers work all around the area to gather more to burn. Why is the Discovery Enterprise not drilling a new relief well? There's two wells being drilled. The Discovery Enterprise has the capacity to be drilling. Why is this rig not drilling? We need all the help we can get. If this rig can burn the crude oil off the bottom, could the methane that's being burned at the Discover Enterprise not also be channeled through that and burn and let this boat go to drilling a new relief well? The flames from the fires at 04,000 are so hot that massive amounts of water had to be sprayed on the boat constantly to keep it from burning. Discoverer 2 sits in the foreground drilling the new relief well, while the fires on the horizon continue to pump toxic smoke into the atmosphere. Now we have this massive fire from hell also putting toxins into the air. Will the Gulf ever be the same again? As we headed out toward Louisiana, it was mile after mile of rainbow, heavy, heavy slick oil, and then a circle appeared. Could there possibly be life under all of this? In the shadow of all that smoke, could there actually be something alive? We made one more pass around Ground Zero and found this. There was movement in the oil. As we looked closer, we saw this pod of dolphins, obviously struggling just to breathe. Then we found this guy. A sperm whale swimming in the oil had just breached. Along his back, we could see red patches of crude as if he'd been basted for broiling. Then there was this pod of dolphins found later, some already dead, some in their death throes. It seemed to be that they were raising their heads and looking at the fires, wondering, why is my world burning down around me? Why would humans do this to me? As we approached Chandelier Islands, I wasn't surprised to see patches of oil along the beach. Given the difficulty in putting boom out and making it stay along these islands, it's going to be impossible to try and keep the oil out. I shudder to think what's going to happen when a storm does come through here. All the oil that we've just flown over will be alongside this. The marshes and all this boom that you see now will be piled up on the shore covered with oil. Here's a man-made island of some sort, possibly one of the new barriers that they're talking about for trying to keep the oil out. But if you look along the back shore, you see thousands of birds in distress. Where are they going to go? Another encroachment by man. As we flew along the beach, I was surprised to find the number of sharks along this barrier island. In the shallow waters, it seemed to be that they were competing for food. Later, flying down the beach, I caught this shot of some pelicans flying over the beach. Hopefully they'll find a dry island somewhere without oil that they can land safely. As I looked back out to sea, though, I had to ask myself, what's going to happen to this nursing mother?
Perhaps you think the Creator sent you here to dispose of us as you see fit. If I thought you were sent by the Creator, I might be induced to think you had a right to dispose of me. Do not misunderstand me, but understand me fully with reference to my affection for the land. I never said the land was mine to do with as I choose. The one who has a right to dispose of it is the one who has created it. I claim a right to live on my land and accord you the privilege to return to yours.